Well, we're not for sport on Sunday, but I did, last Lord's Day, say that we might make a little foray into the world of rugby. Ah, rugby, that's a bit of a blank space for me for the most part. Well, school I went to was a rugby-playing school. The rugby team was the team to be in. At one point, I was on the fringe of playing in it. And I used to go to some of the practices, and I wondered, if I didn't go the next week, would anybody come asking me, oh, do please come, we really missed you. So I put it to the test. I didn't go 1 week. I waited, and I waited. And the call never came, and the call hasn't come since. So I figured rugby was probably not for me, and having once tackled somebody, must have been all of 14 stone or so, who was charging at me like a charging bull, and well, I did the textbook tackle, I actually brought him down, but I think I made enough suffered concussion in the process. So I thought, maybe I'll try some other sports, not rugby. So there we are, that's my experience of rugby. That didn't go far, did it? But anyway, so here we are. There has been a little issue, big issue actually, that has flared up in the world of rugby, particularly in Australia. And it's an issue which has been going on a while, it would seem, but now has really, really kicked in. And it concerns a man called Israel Folau, who is apparently a very well-known rugby player. I've never heard of him, but anyway, a very well-known rugby player and of some prowess, great achievements, and won awards and all else. But he would also profess to be a Christian, a believer. And he doesn't do it in a corner, and he puts things up on his Facebook or his Twitter or somewhere, but somewhere where it gets seen. And some of those things have created a bit of controversy. So the one that really kicked it off just recently there was when he put up a meme, we know what that is, don't we? Tell me afterwards. And a meme containing the declaration, warning, drunks, homosexuals, adulterers, liars, fornicators, thieves, atheists, idolaters, hell awaits you, repent. Well, that was that. That created all manner of controversy. And the fellow landed himself in deep water with the rugby authorities in Australia, and who deemed him, or they produced him, being in breach of his contract and what he is allowed to put on social media as a player for the Australian rugby team. And so, actually, there was a hearing started yesterday. Didn't get wrapped up because he's contesting the case. It could actually financially ruin the rugby authority in Australia, who are already in debt, and the $4 million contract that Israel Folau has, and which they have now sort of terminated, they could have been in breach themselves of contract. May have to pay him $4 million for his lost earnings, which would probably bankrupt them as they presently are. So the case will be resumed on Tuesday, may run on a while yet, and quite a few other players, mostly of Pacific Island background, who've got more of a Christian heritage than present-day Australia, have all signalled their support of him and are saying, well, if he goes down, we're all going to come out as well. So that is going to create not a little problem for the Australian rugby authorities. Here in this country, again, I haven't heard of these people, but I'll sound very knowledgeable if I can, but Billy Vunipola, who has also said that he agrees with what Israel Folau has said. He is now in deep water with the rugby authorities in this country, who are saying that you cannot say this sort of thing and be an England rugby player. Well, a few weeks ago, here we are, Mr. Bob Clifford set me onto this one, he did. A few weeks ago, Brian Moore, writing in the Daily Telegraph, put in his two cents worth. Now I'd heard his name. I must say I had heard his name. And he was a great England rugby player in the scrum, you know, right in the middle of it. Great big sort of fella. So don't tell him that I'm saying these things this morning. A very, very big fella. There he is, Brian Moore. And he wrote a piece in the Daily Telegraph, not very happy with Israel Folau or Billy Vunipola, basically saying, well, if they get the book thrown at them, too bad. They knew what the contract was about, and so they should have not put this stuff up. But he actually went a bit beyond his brief. And so I'm just going to do a few outtakes from this particular thing, because we're talking about persecution. Okay, we're talking about persecution. And here is this well-known figure in the whole area there of rugby. And he is saying, the criticisms that he's making, he says, my criticism comes with no claim of supremacy and divinity. I don't claim to know better. I don't claim divinity. I am not God saying these things. Whereas apparently these other people, well, that's what they're saying. That's basically what they are saying. And in the course of the article, he actually tells us more about himself than he tells us about the case or Israel Folau or many other things come to that. But it's that bit there. Remember this. He is saying, I do not claim any kind of supremacy, that I know better than anybody else. I don't claim to be God in that way, have divinity kind of working on my case for anything that I say. Well, he says quite a few things. And, well, he's not very happy, as I say, with what Israel Folau had actually put out there in the first place. And really, it is the Bible that this man has a big problem with. And if he has a problem with the Bible, then he's got a problem with God. I have to say to you, and this is actually in the public domain, that this man actually suffered at the hands of people, a person who claimed to be a Christian when he was a lad, and, you know, wasn't a good story. We can begin perhaps to understand where he's coming from, and perhaps be able to just sort of think through that a little bit on his behalf. But I would suggest that he's got issues that he actually needs to address himself with that. So, well, he goes after the Bible, doesn't he there? His first problem is with us, the major difficulty is that at least two-thirds of the world is not Christians, so most people will not accept their basic moral and ethical claims. Well, quite a lot of the world is Islamic, actually, and they would have rather stronger things to say than the Bible has to say about how people who practice homosexuality should be dealt with. So that's not quite there, is it? But here it goes. The Bible is the foundation of all Christianity. That is problematic. Okay, that is problematic. This is a work in which there is immaculate conception, with the virgin birth. Snakes speak, Garden of Eden, of course, and people live to the age of 969. Who is that? Mr. Clifford's on fire this morning. Isn't it? Let me get there with that. Fine. And we're comfortable with all of that. Well, he doesn't like the way it's translated from Hebrew and Aramaic into Latin. There's some Greek in there somewhere anyway. Then into numerous languages. It's had major revisions, and its contents and exact words are highly debatable. So who can know? People are relying on the Bible. We don't know what any of it means. It's all out there somewhere wild. Whether you take the words literally or figuratively, it's something you must decide and make plain. He's made up his mind and talks about Revelation 14, verse 10. People are going to be tortured. He doesn't say tortured. And then he grumbles because he's found somewhere it says sulfur, spelt with a F. And he's put sick after that to mean to say, I didn't get the spelling wrong. And I'm struggling to find the version he's using for that particular one there. And so there it is. He's against the Bible. He's got a downer on the Bible. And the thing is this, he's actually supplemented his own supremacy and his own divinity for the authority of the Bible. And the Bible, as a book given by inspiration of God and claiming it right for our obedience and placing over us a rule for life, to develop our thinking, for the maturing of our character. He actually replaces himself in there instead. How does he do that? Because he does what a lot of people do, is he makes a judgment about intentions of Israel Folau. He knows this man's heart. Well, who knows the heart of man? Who knows the heart of man? Who knows really the heart of man? Well, that is God, is it not? We would say God does that. So he would say, so people practicing homosexuality face not only secular prejudice, but homophobia disguised as religious belief. Homophobia. And it's actually my sermon later on. That word phobia used to mean irrational fear, now it means irrational hatred. And hatred, angry, violence. There's violence at the end of this stuff. These people can get violent. I'm coming from a rugby player, I found out a bit rich myself. But anyway, these people can get violent. And that's what's underlying their religion. sort of violence, hatred. So he knows that, doesn't he? He's not kind of superior. He's not divine, but he knows that. And so he's telling us that. And he's not alone. But he says it plays into the narrative behind which others hide to maintain their bigotry. He is the diagnostician of the human heart. He is telling us here, I know about you. I know about you. It's bigotry. That's what it is. It's bigotry. It's phobia. That's what's in you. And I knows it. Well, how does he know it? Well, he knows it. Because he's claiming supremacy and he's claiming an insight into your heart and mine, which I'm sorry I have to beg to differ and suggest that he hasn't quite got it. He ends like this. He says, I do not believe transgressors deserve severe and irreversible torment. For if the listings are accurate, that this is the people that need to repent, a lot of us are in for a hot time in the future. Well, there it is. Indeed, somewhere within it there, that hatred of God, God's law, and what God has decreed, is coming through. Oh yeah, I understand he's had a problem within a church in the past, and that's out there, it's on the public record, and well, we can feel pretty angry with the way that people act in the name of God against other people. But you can't use that then as an excuse, if you like, for your own bit of victimhood, and then use that as a way of kind of trying to bash Christians, bash God, bash the Bible. Always check the story. This one, I think, is going to run a little bit, and the Australian authorities are going to have to sort this one out somehow, and they're going to perhaps even have to have a little bit of a humble stand down on the issue. But don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Read carefully. Think about what people are claiming. Because they're claiming, I'm not saying this, I'm not saying this. They are. Read them carefully. Think about the implications of the statements that they are making. They are actually claiming to be God. They are actually claiming a supremacy over your life and mine, of what's in your heart and what's in my heart. God is the only one who oversees and understands that. And he's already spoken to us in here, and we're wise if we take that as our rule rather than the opinions of men. So how about this? Do you think I should write him a letter and invite him here to meet with us? And to just see for himself who we are. Whether he can come with his phobia sort of check-up kit and sort of have a listen in and sort of poke us around a bit there. Well, maybe I will. And I'll let you know what the result of that is. So let's sing our next hymn, 147. O thou my soul, forget no more. 147.